Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya'i wal-Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله Once again we thank Allah and we praise our Rabb Allah Azza wa Jal And we send peace and blessings upon Nabi Akram Nuri Mujassam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his illustrious family and noble companions, alayhi muridwan. Teri nasle paak mein hai bacha bacha noor ka, tu hai aine noor, tera sab gharana noor ka. Marhaba, ahlan wa sahlan bikum to one and all. Ji haan ji, viewers, on this pleasant and beautiful evening we say marhaba, ahlan wa sahlan bikum to one and all. You are watching the program called Reformation of the Ummah. Subhanallah. Once again, I'm sitting with our Honorable Ziyad Madani Hafidhahullah. And together with our co-host, should I say, mashallah, we welcome all our viewers of Madani channel. We hope and trust that your week and your weekend was well, alhamdulillah. May Allah Kareem accept all our lawful wishes and protect us from the oppression of others. May Allah Azza wa Jalla guide us to the righteous path, dear viewers. Yeah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ziyad Madani is with us and we have a very important, very relevant topic, and that is the outlook on oppression itself, dear viewers, from the Islamic point of view. And inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, we hope that we're going to do justice in this discussion, because your participation is essential, dear viewers. It is important that you be with us until the end of the program, inshallah, and also that you would share this program as well as the points that you hear in our program with others for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we go any further into our discussion, to invoke the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's listen to a beautiful narration with regards to reciting Durood-e Paak. And inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, form the habit of excessively reciting Durood and Salawat upon his most exalted creation, Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As it is stated in one hadith, the person who recites 100 Durood-e Paak upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it shall be written and inscribed between his eyes that this person is freed from the fire of hell and freed from hypocrisy. Allahu Akbar. He is freed from hypocrisy and from the fire of hell, as well as on the day of judgment, he will be resurrected amongst the shuhada. Subhanallah. He will be resurrected amongst those who have been slain and martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the blessings and virtues of reciting lots of salawat, dear viewers. Form the habit wherever you are. Keep reciting durood upon Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salatun wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya nabiya Allah. Wa sallam alayka ya sayyidi ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, Mulana Sahib, this is the blessings of, you know, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah.
And He Azza wa Jalla had sent us to this planet, which He has made livable for us, Mawlana Sahib.
Alhamdulillah.
In fact, before all of this, Allah Azza wa Jalla even asked the angels, you know, this is the teachings of Qur'an Pak. Mm-hmm. And if we really look clearly into this and understand the will behind the creation itself, the wisdom behind creating this dunya, this kaina, this planet, and as insan, dear of you, Mawlana Sahib, Allah Azza wa Jalla even asked this question to the angels. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. There's an entire discussion on this matter in the Holy Quran Pak itself. And in other words, it seemed as if Allah Azza wa Jalla was consulting with the angels, you know. And there's lots of wisdom and hikmah in this itself. However, the angels mentioned, Ya Rahman Rahimin, when Allah Azza wa Jalla asked them about their opinion, and subhanallah, what they would assume or think about this matter, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to send His vicegerent, His Khalifa upon the earth.
Subhanallah.
Upon which they expressed their amazement and astonishment.
Mm.
And of course, in the knowledge, Mulana Sahib, the dunya and the existence of the dunya as well as human beings is for the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes. So they expressed their amazement by saying, Ya Rahman Rahimin, those who would cause mischief and bloodshed therein, Are we aren't enough to glorify you and to mention your praise? In other words, Ya Rahman Rahimin, they will cause fitna, fasad, mischief, bloodshed. They will cause chaos on this earth. Are we not enough for your worship and for your ibadat? At this point, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Clearly, Allah Azza wa Jalla had stated that this is known to Allah Azza wa Jalla alone, and they do not have the knowledge of this. No one has the knowledge of this. Allah knows that which we do not know, in other words. So, subhanAllah, from this we learn, Mawlana Sahib, that subhanAllah, Allah Kareem, as the ulama explained in the tafsir of these ayat, that Allah Azza wa Jalla wanted the angels to further investigate and find out the wisdom in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the wonders and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fact that angels associated this question, yani mischief and bloodshed, to the insan, ulama ikram have mentioned this was not to question or to reason with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather simply because, of course, they are infallible, Mawlana Sahib, they would not commit sins and mistakes and find shortfalls in people and do those harms and mischief which insan would do. Yes. Allah Kareem had created them in a way that they do not commit sins, Mawlana Sahib. Mm. But this was out of amazement, simply because ulama say either Allah Kareem had instilled in them what will happen with insan, what insan would do, or the fact that they had seen jinns that live on earth before insan, and they saw the mischief of jinnats, and thus they associated mischief and bloodshed with humans itself. However, the ulama ikram have also explained, Mawlana Sahib, that this planet Allah Kareem had created, and this is the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla that He made this planet a place where we can live as compared to other places where you cannot live. A place where which we call home, Mawlana Sahib, a place that's supposed to be a place, an abode of peace, tranquility, sukoon, a place of not fitna, Mawlana Sahib. But from the very inception, as we see, oppressions have taken place on this earth. And from the first murder and all the mischief that would follow behind shaitan being banished to the earth, Mawlana Sahib, and then misleading people. And then we notice this place which was supposed to be a place of where we worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, of where we help each other in the deen and spreading the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to those who have gone astray. This was the message of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. This was the peygham of the messengers, of the awliya, of the pious, of those who guide people. And unfortunately, Mawlana Sahib, the tricks of shaitan has really worked. The respite he has taken from Allah Azza wa Jalla till the last hour. And in his mission, he has not failed whatsoever. He has continued to mislead people. He has continued to fulfill his promise he made to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Illa mashallah, for those who are saved from the tricks of shaitan through the help of Allah Azza wa Jalla, were able to save themselves from his tricks and from his plots and plans. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. But we see today this mischief has been widespread. Today, there is no sukoon, there is no peace, there is no love, there is no harmony amongst family members. Close as siblings, brothers and sisters, mothers, parents, husband and wife, between close cousins, Mawlana Sahib, there is no peace between business competitors, there is no peace amongst any person here. You see, at some place, somebody is robbing someone of his right, of his hukuk, somebody is killing somebody unjustly, Mawlana Sahib. Somebody is being sentenced in prison for life without any mistake. Wrong judgments are being made. People are hurting each other. Yet, if a true mu'min, a true believer is he who does not even scare another Muslim, even with his eyes, Mawlana Sahib.
Allah.
Even to make gestures of with the eye or with any other body part of a person to cause fear to be instilled in the next person's heart. You may, you know, show big eyes, you may frighten the person. Islam has even forbidden us from doing this. This is how sensitive this beautiful deen is. And all of this is only to attain Allah's pleasure, that we have harmony and peace on this earth. But Ya Sayyidi, this harmony and peace has been ruined. As I just mentioned, Mawlana Sahib, if we have to count the wrongs in society, there is a long list of how much of haram is happening, how much of violations are in progress at this very moment. How many people have reached the kubur, they have reached their grave, they died without seeing justice on this earth, Mawlana Sahib, without seeing justice being served to them before they even die. And it's a very miserable state. And what this oppression has done to the oppressed people, many are in anxiety, many have committed suicide. Many are in depression because of their anxiety. Many are taking medications, are living a very sickful life, Maulana Sahib, should I say. A sickening life, whereas they are not living quality life any longer because of the oppressions and the stress that they have underwent because of the wrongs happened to them in this lifetime.
Mm.
But the shocking part is that we are Muslims, we are Muslims, we claim to be Muslims, we claim to love Quran, we claim to love our Rabb, we claim to say that I have been for Umrah, I have been for Hajj several times. But when you look at these violations, they are committed without any hesitation, they are committed without any problem, they are committed so easily. And this at times astonishes me, that how can we find a solution to remove all of this from society, Maulana Sahib? How can this happen? If Maulana Sahib can shed some light with regards to oppression itself. We are speaking of oppression. There are different levels of oppression. I mean, look at what's happening right now in various other countries of the world. How people are suffering, Maulana Sahib. You know, deliberate oppression, whereas the world is silent and not much can't happen. How do we understand oppression itself from a definition point of view, Maulana Sahib? Islamic definition, what the Sharia has mentioned about oppression itself.
See, oppression is a sin in Islam. It is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that anyone oppresses anyone. And by definition, ulama ikram mentioned that definition of oppression is wada'u shay' ala ghayri mahalli, placing something in other than its rightful place. So that broadens the perspective of oppression, or our perspective on oppression, that someone could oppress someone in various ways. If someone was not worthy of being scared, but we scared them, that is an oppression. If someone was not worthy of being hurt, but we hurt them, that is an oppression. And we find oppressions taking place on various levels, on various scales. See, we must also remember that sometimes we are blessed with power over others. Allah Ta'ala gives us an authority, Allah Ta'ala gives us a dignity, Allah Ta'ala gives us a power over other people, and with that power comes a very great test. That how are we going to use our power? Are we going to be giving people their due rights with our power? Are we going to use that power against people in a way that they are not deserving of? And so, you find that many people are tested with power. And I say tested with power because that's how we should understand it. Authority, power that Allah Ta'ala gave you is a test for you. You are tested with power and we fail the test of power. That means we take other people's right without it being just, without it being correct that we've taken their right. You find, I'll give a few basic examples of oppression that takes place. Someone sold some goods to us, and we are to pay for the goods. But instead of paying at the time that the money is due, despite having the ability to pay, we choose not to pay them. We have oppressed them. Someone did something wrong, and they were supposed to be reprimanded, but we reprimanded them much beyond the way that they were supposed to be reprimanded, such that we took many other rights of theirs, put them in much misery.
Allah.
Then we have oppressed them. The spouses, husband and wife, have rights over each other. Taking away their rights, the rights of our spouses, this is an oppression. Being more harsh on our children than we should be. We shouldn't be harsh on them. But sometimes we might need to discipline them by speaking to them, sometimes by explaining to them, but we are too harsh upon them. We have oppressed them. If our parents have certain hukuk and certain rights over us, and we have not given them those rights, the rights of respect, the right of serving our parents, the right of giving them and helping them and seeing to them as much as we can within that which is corrected, within that which is allowed for us. And if we haven't given them those rights, then we have oppressed them. So when we look from this angle, we realize that there are many kinds of oppression that we have overlooked. And we don't realize that it's oppression, yet it's in our day-to-day lives. How many times we could give back that which we owed, but we held back for a while longer. Do we realize that we are oppressing someone? Someone is there in need of that, but we haven't given it to them. And we have caused difficulties to many people's lives in this way. And I'm speaking just very generally and very openly, that many people have gone through this and not realized that, unfortunately, I'm complaining of being oppressed by others, but I'm among the oppressors to others. That I say that so-and-so oppressed me, so-and-so was harsh on me, so-and-so scolded me in public, they've hurt my feelings, etc. Yet, we could also be among those who are oppressing others because they have hukuk, they have rights, and we have not ensured that their rights were delivered to them. And so we are here in one state crying that we are oppressed, but in another state we are oppressing others.
I would just like to add to this, Mawlana Sahib. In one state we are oppressing others, and yet, as you mentioned, a person is in a state of paying back his debt, but for some reason he procrastinates, he delays, right? Instead of going with the money, with the mal that he had borrowed, with a smile and with a big thanks, shukran ki aapne mujhe itna diya, wapas aap le lijiye, aapne mujhe help ki, vagaira vagaira. Instead of doing that, Mawlana Sahib, they would deliberately delay. Now, from one point of view, there's an Islamic ulama, Muftiyani Kiram, have mentioned, in the light of Quran Pak, in the light of Ahadith Mubarakah of Rasul Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that if a person was in a state of paying back, he had the ability to pay back, and he does not pay back, he can be inconsistent in ibadat, he's also inconsistent sinning at the same time.
Absolutely.
He's sleeping, and guna is going into his account. He could be even worshipping, such as going, performing salah, going for umrah, going for hajj, doing other ibadat. Lekin ye mat sochna ki aapko guna nahi mil raha. You will be a sinner because you have the money, you have that which you have borrowed from someone, and plus you have made a promise to return it by a certain date and time, which was also violated. Because of this violation, you shall be earning gunas and sins, despite performing hajj, despite doing ibadat. And Mawlana Sahib, this is the beauty of us being Musliman. That we became Muslim, and Allah Kareem has blessed us with Islam before we even asked for it. We are so fortunate that we have this beautiful deen and religion that's going to guide us and protect us from being punished and tormented.
Alhamdulillah.
Kyunki iske jo azab hai, jo punishments hai, dear viewers of Madani Channel, you and I cannot even think and fathom as to what would happen. Right now, it's the easiest thing is to hide away from your creditors. It's very easy to switch the phone off, put it on silent, block the number, taki mujhe koi phone na kare, paise poochne ke liye. Because you owe that money, it's easy to do that. But have you thought, as per Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, if somebody had owed someone 3 paisa, in Fatawa Raziya Sharif, Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali has stated 3 paisa, you will have to pay back on the day of judgment with 700 congregational prayers of yours. 700 salahs that was performed with jama'at, do we even have? Allahu Akbar. And that to which one was accepted in the bargah of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So this was just one example. Likewise, there are so many other ahadith that would motivate us and scare us the day we ever even think to delay not paying back to the creditors. But it is shaitan, it is the love of the dunya, it is having less tawakkul and trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla, that if I had used this money, kal kya hoga, parso kya hoga, narso kya hoga, what will happen thereafter? So people, Mawlana Sahib, would deliberately hold back on the payments. But when he asked, that help came from Allah, Allah instilled in the heart of the next person to give you that money.
Allah Akbar.
But when time came back to pay, Allah was the one who gave you back that money to pay. But unfortunately, greed, shaitan, tricks, and so many other things come in place. Now we have oppressed somebody. Something which is very relevant and important. Mawlana Sahib, we have brought a very important discussion. How many people's rentals are held back? They cannot pay further because you are holding back their money. Somebody is holding back someone's money because of which he cannot do his operation. He cannot pay for his bills. He's unable to live a quality life. He's unable to travel at some place. He's unable to pay fees or whatever it may be. There are hundreds of people who are suffering from this issue and matter that people love to borrow but hate to pay back, Mawlana Sahib. There's a passion to borrow and take from others without need at times. And there is like a hatred in their hearts to ever return back what they have taken.
We've become takers, unfortunately. Just as insan in general, with that we notice that within the world we become takers, that we're ready to take. But there are very few givers. There are very few people who are ready to give. Everyone's worried about themselves. Ah, so-and-so didn't fulfill my right. Please fulfill my right. But how many people are waiting for their rights to be fulfilled by us? That we look past. And that will only fulfill, unfortunately, I'm just speaking of the trend, that we tend to fulfill those rights of those people who cry the most by us. That they need to come and cry for that which is theirs. Why must someone else come and cry to us for that which belongs to them? We were supposed to seek them out. If we did not give them their right, they will not be questioned, but we will be questioned. So it was our duty to seek them out. Why does someone have to knock at our door and phone us over and over again and say, I need this, you owe it to me, this and that. So much of
this
difficulty
is a very common
placed
issue
on people. Yes, yet.
It's a very common issue.
They are actually coming to us not for our haq, they're coming to us for their haq. So we were supposed to have sought them out. But where will we find this city? Where will we find people that will call you and say, I owe you this. Can I please come and drop it off? Can I please come and give you? When is the next? When are you available for me to return it to you? It's always, when are you available? When is it possible for me to come to you and pick up my right? Why do people have to do so? We need to also come to that level, that when are you available that I can please come and drop it off by you, because I owe it to you. There are people that, subhanallah azza wa jal, pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that look in this light, that I'm worried that what happens if I go to sleep tonight and I don't wake up tomorrow, yet I have not fulfilled your right. When this becomes our mindset, then inshallah you will find that these oppressive behaviors will move away.
Achha.
That I may pass away tonight. And when we lay on our pillow, or when we lay down on your bed or your chatai or wherever you are sleeping, when you are going to lay down, we need to think that, what happens if I'm going to close my eyes now and it doesn't open in the morning?
Yeah.
How many people's rights do I have with me that is unfulfilled? And this feeling we need to have. Sometimes we need to have that uncomfortable sleep for one night, so that tomorrow we fulfill their rights. Otherwise, if we don't have that uncomfortable sleep tonight, through us, many may be having uncomfortable sleep.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Mawlana Sahib, mashallah, it is this beautiful deen once again. We make lakh shukr to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yani, millions of thanks to Allah Azza wa Jalla for giving us Islam and those who protected the rights of Islam, Mawlana Sahib. Mm. Yani, these laws which have been made by Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the Sahaba ikram alayhi ridwan did never violate this, these hukuk and rights. I mean, I'm giving an example of Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu. And I want the viewers of Madini channel just to think for a moment. This was the tariqah and the style of our pious predecessors.
Mm.
They wanted us to follow as they have set, we would say, Mawlana Sahib, these rules and regulations for us, subhanallah. There was a person who was a king of Ghassan. He embraced Islam. Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu is now so happy that Islam will now spread easily, because he is the king who became a Muslim of Ghassan. To spread Islam in that area becomes much more easier, simply because the king has embraced Islam.
Mm.
It so happened he was making tawaf of the Kaaba after embracing Islam. And as this king was making tawaf of the Kaaba during his tawaf and performing Umrah, and Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, at that point in time, what this person had done was he gave this Bedouin a clout, because the Bedouin stepped on his clothes.
Sure.
So the king gave him such a tight clout that caused one of his foot to come out. So he went in the court of Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, who was the one who made justice, subhanallah, on this earth, and said, Ya Sayyidi, I'm a poor Bedouin, and this king who became a Muslim, this is what he had done to me. Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu inquired from him as to what happened. He mentioned the entire story, that by mistake I stepped on his clothes and he had done this to me. Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu called for the king. He was summoned. He came. He mentioned, yes, it's true. Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu then said to the Bedouin, right, now you will take qisas from him. What he had done for you, you will avenge him. You will take revenge and you will also do the same to him. This is the recompensation for what he had done to you. Upon which the king said, but Ya Sayyidi, consider the fact that I'm a king and he is a worthless person. He's an ordinary person. Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu said to him, but this is the difference between Islam and Kufr. Allahu Akbar. Mm. That Islam teaches us equality and there is no rich and poor in Islam. Upon which he asked for some respite. He said, give me till tomorrow and we will discuss this tomorrow. And he became an apostate, Mawlana Sahib.
Mm-hmm.
He ran away at night. During that night, he fled from there and he became a murtad, an apostate. Mm-hmm. And he, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Umar Farooq radiyallahu anhu, set such an example for the people to come until the day of Qiyamah,
mm-hmm.
that there was no loss to Islam because of that one person leaving Islam.
Mm.
But there was going to be a great loss if Umar Farooq radiyallahu anhu overseen this matter and given preference to that king.
Mm.
But Umar Farooq radiyallahu anhu brought about justice on this planet, made it clear, Mawlana Sahib, no matter who you are and what the state is, this is the beauty of Islam, that a person's rights have been violated, Islam will give back that right to him.
Yes.
Poor or rich, whoever you are. But today we see, Mawlana Sahib, it's the influential people of our society who have the bucks, who have the money, who have enough wealth and assets in life, who feel and assume they can do whatever they wish and desire to do.
Mm.
Be it from a country point of view, to the individuals who are French, who are affluent, Mawlana Sahib, you know, who are very well connected with the bigger people of the society. So we see people bullying people. We see people harassing people.
Yes.
I mean, this was the trait of Qawm-e Aad. The Quran speaks about Qawm-e Aad, this nation, Qawm-e Aad, Qawm-e Thamud. Why this admonition for us in here?
Mm.
Why this lessons for us here? Contemplate. أَفَلَا تَتَفَكَّهُونَ. You're supposed to think when you read the Quran in Ramadan, Maybe that Muslim who's oppressing others, who's ridiculing others, who's mocking others, read this verse several times. But didn't we learn lessons from this? That people of Aad, who were tall, huge, strong, they would sit on these pathways that they created only for one thing, one purpose. And guess what was the purpose? Not to help others. As the pass-byers would go, they would say to them funny things. They would hurt their feelings.
Ridicule.
They would ridicule them. They would mock them. They would joke at them. They would pass comments at them. And this doesn't happen today. Our sisters, our daughters, our mothers can't even walk the street. If for some reason there's a need for some Islamic sister to even go to some place veiled in Islamic as per Sharia, even after being veiled, you would get people who would catcall her. Yeah, you get people who would catcall, would whistle, who would pass some comments.
La hawla wa la quwwata.
Astaghfirullah, ala a'udhu billah. Or dekha jaye to musalmani mulana sahib.
And belonging
to a Muslim family.
Of course.
This happens in colleges, it happens in schools, it happens in universities, it happens in the marketplaces. Musalman ke bache aise kar rahe hote.
This is what a dirty habit this is, that people tend to have, calling and whistling at women folk and calling them when they are passing by. Such people need to understand and need to know that you are taking advantage because you have a little bit more power.
Hmm.
Just because you have a little bit more power in this case, but remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, and we hear it time and time again in the khutbas at Jumu'ah, kama tadinu tudan.
Allahu Akbar.
As you do will be done upon you. In Urdu they say, jaisi karni, waisi bharni. In English, as you do will be done upon you. What goes around comes around. Today, if we are whistling and passing remarks at someone else, some lady walking by, that someone's daughter. One day our daughters may walk, and when they walk, do we want other strange men, ghair mahram males, to be whistling and calling her names? We are doing so. If we are doing so, that could be someone's wife. When our wives are passing, do we want that someone else whistle and call them names? That could be someone's mother. When our mothers pass, do we want someone to whistle and call them names? This la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahil aliyyil azim. This is a very filthy trend. Whoever has this trend attached to them, we need to get rid of these trends. This is oppressive behavior. Someone else is, if they see you do that, someone who is connected to those people, they're going to feel hurt. And the person themselves who is passing, they too are going to feel hurt. They're going to try to lower their heads and walk by quickly. People are afraid to walk certain paths because of this. This we are listening to, regarding Qawm e Aad, that they would do that. It hasn't left completely. We still find people in today's society doing so. This name calling, hurting people's feelings, speaking ill about them, sometimes in their presence, all of this is oppression against people. And we are going to be held responsible. When we spoke about, Manasa spoke about influential people especially, that oppression is something which is more often attached to them because they have such power. But the question that was just running through my mind when Mawlana Sahib was speaking, people who have money, people who have authority, people who have positions, sometimes in government, sometimes in companies, that they have high positions. And oppressive nature is often found from them because they have such ability.
Power.
These people of power and influence. And I was just thinking that, kab tak, until then, how long? For a little while in dunya? 20
Allah
years and 30 years
Allah
and 40 years and 70 years.
And how long?
For how long? And then? Qabr is very long, isn't it?
Andheri Raat.
Night of the Qabr is such a night that you wait for the day you're not going to see until you see Qiyamah. The next day you're going to find, because it's dark in the Qabr. The next day is the day you're going to wake up on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And on Qiyamah, are we just going to get respite then? There are people in the dunya that we are oppressing for what reason? Because they are unable to take revenge, isn't it? But how long will that last? For how long are they incapable of taking revenge? It's just for a little while. After that, revenge will be sought, isn't it?
It will be sought, Muhammad. We can never escape from this.
So just think that now I'm the oppressor. For now I'm being tough on someone. For now I'm thinking that I'm going to teach everyone their lesson. There's a day in which I will be taught my lesson as well.
As well. Kama tadinu tadan.
Today I know it's a little bit off the topic, but today the same personality, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and we were recalling him and speaking.
Right.
Because we had a situation in which it's very, very far off the discussion. Nonetheless, there was a point at which water, a borehole or a well was dug, and there was water, and then when we tried to retrieve that water, tried to get the water out, we could not find that water.
Mm.
and that put us in some difficulty. So one of the Islamic brothers suggested Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He wrote to the river as well to flow for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So write his name. So we wrote the name of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and placed it within that well. And alhamdulillah, upon searching again, water was found immediately.
Kya baat hai Madine ki,
subhanallah. You're speaking so much of him and he's recalling,
this is his karama, subhanallah.
You know, come to mind that alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
The barakah of his name, Huzur.
The barakah of his name, the barakah of his personality, the barakah of his lifestyle, Allahu his Akbar. Biography. That if we had to uphold the qualities that he upheld, we will see the brightness of day once again.
What a thing to say, Huzur. What a thing to say, subhanallah. And I mean, look at the teachings of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he brought justice upon this earth.
Absolutely.
To the extent, Mulana Sahib, that Uthmani Ghani radiallahu an said to one of his slaves that just as I twisted your ear, avenge me. Allahu Akbar. Another leader of the Muslims. These were and these are, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We say this with love and affection, Masa, with pride that our leaders are such. These are the leaders of the Muslims who come until the day of Qiyamah, dear viewers, that they imitated the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, our aqa and master, these were the followers, right? These are our crowns, our masters. But look at the master of all masters, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During his passing away, he made an announcement to all his sahaba and companions, alayhim ridwan. In fact, to everybody, that if anyone wants to avenge me, should do it now, but not on the day of judgment.
Allah.
Allahu Akbar. That great Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who always upheld the rights of people, who never violated the rights of any person, Allahu Akbar, but rather others violated his rights, is making this announcement to his people that if I had done so unknowingly or knowingly, avenge me now. If I have taken some money from you, demand it now. If I have hurt you, demand it now. But do not take any revenge from me on the day of judgment. If this is said by the one who is the leader of all those who are ma'asoom, Mawlana Sahib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then, dear viewers of Madinah channel, can you imagine what Islam wants from you as a follower? Because you recite the article of faith, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once you have recited this article of faith, Islam now wants you to protect this and uphold the teachings of Islam. Practice it in your day-to-day life. But how do we practice it when over little issues and matters we fail, dear viewers? We're assuming that we went and spent thousands of rands on Hajj and Umrah, whereas our neighbor is suffering because we violated his right. Our parents are suffering. Our siblings are suffering. We're assuming as if we are pleasing Allah Azza wa Jalla, and probably this is the reason why Rasul Akram, Nuri Mujassam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stated that yes, on the day of judgment, people will come with ast and salahs and ibadah, but they will be gharib and destitute on the day of judgment, simply for violating the rights of others. So what happens? All their sawab and reward of all their fast, namaz, roza, hajj, zakat will be paid off to those who have been oppressed in the dunya. And guess what, dear viewers of Madini channel? It is stated, when the rewards will be depleted, when there's nothing left in his account, he must now take the gunas and the sins of the oppressed person. The oppressor will take the gunah and the sins from the account of the oppressed person because he has nothing left with him to pay. So, lots of people that will enter into Jannah will not enter into Jannah because of their own actions, but rather because of taking sawab from others. And lots of others that came with rewards and sawab that will be thrown into the hellfire will not be thrown into the hellfire because of their own sins, because of taking sins from others, dear viewers. So this is the guideline we have.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes I think about this and I just think that whenever we purchase things in dunya, generally, you know, aqil person, someone who is of sound intellect, when you want to get something and you want to purchase things within dunya, when you want to do something in dunya, you always think, what's my affordability?
100%.
Can I afford it? Somebody wants to buy a vehicle, he thinks, can I afford it? Someone wants to buy a house, can I afford it? Someone wants to go for holiday, can I afford it? Whatever it is that you want to do, you think, can I afford it? And then you take the next step. If it's not affordable, then you just hold on, isn't it? The family could say, but we want this certain thing. You say, but it's not affordable at the moment. If when it's affordable, I can consider. But when it's not affordable, there's no consideration for it. Imagine when we are oppressing people in dunya, we have to pay on qiyamah. When we are holding someone's money in dunya, unlawfully, we have to pay on qiyamah. When we steal someone's money in dunya, we have to pay on qiyamah. On the day of judgment, we need to repay for that oppression. But the currency of the Day of Judgment is different from the currency of the world. In the dunya, if you owed someone in South Africa 100 rands, you can give him back 100 rands, 100 Agreed. Dirhams, 100 dirhams, you return yes. it. But on Qiyamah, you don't pay in money.
Allah.
The currency is good deeds. And so, since you're going to be in paying good deeds, I think we need to start asking ourselves this question. Just before I oppress someone, when I just think of oppressing someone, I'm going to have to pay back. Can I afford it? If you can afford, well, I don't know who's going to be so bold to say I can afford. But then only you have the opportunity, or then only you can start thinking about it. But if you can't afford it, because the Day of Judgment is such that everyone will be in such a state that even one single good deed will be worth more than the world to them. Everyone will want ibadah, everyone will want good deeds. People will wish, can I go back into dunya, say subhanallah once more, and then come to yawm al-qiyamah, then at least I'll have that thawab. But there's no chance of returning to dunya, it's yawm al-qiyamah. And now we need to, when we have few good deeds, and we need those good deeds to enter Jannah, Allahu to avoid being in Jahannam, on that day, can we afford to start paying out good deeds?
Allahu
can we
Allah.
Afford to start dishing out, giving out our good deeds and then collecting people's sins? If we don't have that affordability, then don't do that which demands that. Don't do that which results in that. So now before oppressing someone, now before hurting someone's feelings, now before hurting someone physically, now before taking a life, think. Can I afford it or can I not? If I can't afford to pay for it in Yawm al-Qiyamah, I can't afford to pay for it in the hereafter, then don't do it in the dunya, then don't do it in the world.
Allahu Akbar.
And every wise person realizes that on that day, I need good deeds. I need good deeds. And in a way, this is also glad tidings and comfort to the hearts of the oppressed ones. That you might have gone through difficulties in the dunya and you might have not seen justice being carried out, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most just, and nothing escapes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you didn't receive justice from the people in the world, then you will still really receive your justice on the Day of Judgment. And what you will be paid in the Day of Judgment, on the Day of Judgment, what you will be paid in is much more valuable than that which you could have lost in the world. And so never lose hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you your fair share. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not oppress. Indeed, Allah azza wa jal does not oppress anyone. Allah People can oppress you, Allah azza wa jal will give you your full.
Yes, Huzur, nobody will be wronged at all, even to the slightest, on the Day of Judgment, dear viewers. This is the reality. Justice will be served on the Day of Judgment. And Mawlana Sahib, we are very weak to face that accountability.
Absolutely.
We are very weak. Some will be stuck for 200 or 300 years with the first question.
Ya Rabbi.
Allah knows best in His divine wisdom as to how this will occur and happen. But yes, dear viewers, I mean, when you hear the narrations of those who passed successfully in this dunya, not much amal they did. So this is something really attracting, and it should be something that motivates us to do good in the dunya. I mean, if your sins are pardoned, if you are forgiven for all the violations in the dunya, if Allah through His divine wisdom and his mercy, He forgives our sins. This is mercy. It's a mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But it doesn't mean we should only cling onto the hope of being forgiven without trying any efforts to cover up that message that we have done thus far. If you owe somebody money, you can only hope for forgiveness from Allah if you go and pay that person back. You cannot delay back on the payment and say, Allah will make me maaf. Still this time, do this, because there are people who are paying back, for example, but they are paying back in fractions. They're not paying back in a lump sum money the way the person can do something with that. There are lots of people who need that. Their lives are messed up. For years they are suffering and crying. And you think it's all fine. And if you was a reason for them to have sleepless nights, dear viewers, think about it. Allahu Akbar. How do you want your du'as to be accepted? How do we expect for Allah to love us when we offend Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by causing mischief and chaos on earth, dear viewers? Such that we ruin the peace of others, we ruin the harmony of others. People are crying out there. So these narrations and ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are actually a source of motivation for all of us, inshallah, azza wa jalla, that we bring about peace, tranquility, khushiyah, happiness, nothing else to gain in this dunya, dear viewers. We just have to please our Rabb Allah Azza wa Jalla. Shaitan wants us to do this haram, do this wrong, once nothing going to happen. Some people do it, they enjoy it, becomes a habit. Then it becomes a nature. They cannot live without doing haram in their lives. There are others out there who can't stop swearing. Even if they give you some tarif and some praises, they must swear and give you some praises. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Every line, every word is violation, is shouting or yelling or swearing and hurting the feelings and hearts of others, dear viewers. They think it's okay. But if you have the rights or you have some guts to stop that person, you should do that. You should stop them. And people of this nature should be stopped, whether on social media or whether wherever they are, dear viewers. Oppression should be stopped, and we should, inshallah, azza wa jalla, help others and teach others how to bring about harmony and peace. This is our mission. This is our goal. This is how we can please Allah azza wa jalla. Because you know what? This is what every prophet of Allah azza wa jalla had done. These are the noble messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who came to spread and propagate the oneness of Allah azza wa jalla. And trust me, the people did a lot of harm to them, a lot of wrong to them. Mawlana Sahib, if you only study Siratul Anbiya, we realize that approximately 124,000 messengers came. These are the stories that we are told to reflect upon. Look at the oppression, what the people of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam did for him. Very few of us just know 950 years he preached. But in that 950 years, what do you think? He faced no oppression from people?
Allahu Akbar.
You think Salih alayhi salam, Hud alayhi salam, Sheikh alayhi salam, Idris alayhi salam, all these great prophets of Allah azza wa jalla who came to guide people, it's like helping a person not to go into the fire of hell in exchange for this great help a Nabi has rendered to a layman. He's swearing at him. He's shouting at him. He's calling him names. Allahu Akbar. They even tried to assassinate so many prophets of Allah. They even done so. For what, dear viewers? Just because Haq was mentioned, the truth was mentioned. But this is what Allah wants from us, that we bring about peace, tranquility and happiness in each and every home. So if there's a son who's a very violent person, somebody from the family who's strong should approach this violent person in the family, Mawlana Sahib, and calm him down. He should go for some classes, or she should go for some classes, and action should be taken to stop the haram and the wrong instantly the moment it's committed. What's Mawlana Sahib intake on this matter? Because drugs has ruined hundreds of families. Besides this, as I'm saying, Mawlana Sahib, the younger ones, there are many grannies out there who are living with their grandchildren. There's nobody else in the family. Those grandchildren are ruining the lives of the old people in the family. There are many. I mean, we are here in South Africa. If I have to walk down the street, probably I'll find many homes like that.
Absolutely.
If I walk to the next town, which is about 10 k's away from us, 10 kilometers away, you go to Overport on this side, you go to another area on this side. Any area you travel to in Durban, you'll find if every second home is a Muslim, then every third or fourth home has some issue and matter related to oppression itself, Mawlana Sahib.
This does happen in, you know, unfortunately, youth are often caught up in this because it's a phase with a little bit of power, a little bit of strength within ourselves that the elders may not have. So if the elders don't have a little that amount of strength, then you find that the youth are being oppressive towards their parents and towards their grandparents, etc.
Allahu Akbar.
However, if only they were attached to the beautiful deen of Islam, then they would realize that they can't be doing this. So I would say one of the greatest solutions to this problem of oppression from within your family is to educate your family Islamically.
Yes.
If you're going to educate them Islamically, they're going to know the rights, the hukuk of their parents. They're going to know the hukuk of their grandparents. They're going to know the respect that they should be giving to elders. And then inshallah azza wa jal, you'll find that you won't have this problem. Inshallah azza wa jal. If you already have this problem, then some help must be sought. Then we should seek some help. That how can we seek help? You have counseling sessions that can take place. You have ulama-i-kiram that can give advice. You have those within families as well, and that are influential, that have authority within families, that they can step in and they can make a stance. They can take a stance and let people know that this is where you have to stop. However, I want to also extend not only to those who are in the situation and have no solution, but there are many people out there who have not reached the situation, but don't think that you are above such a situation. If we are not going to bring our families close to deen, such problems are going to come towards us. We are going to face these problems. This is one of the biggest causes, if not the biggest cause, of the difficulties that we face within our families, of people becoming oppressive in nature towards us and towards others, is because of their distance from deen. We need to and we must bring our families and ourselves close to the deen. We must learn the deen. We must create an environment in which we act upon the deen, upon the teachings of Islam. And in that way we'll see that husbands will not be oppressive to wives, nor will wives be oppressive to husbands. The children will be fearful of being oppressive towards their parents, not because they fear their parents taking revenge within dunya, but because they fear the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we start doing this, inshallah azza wa jal, before the problem can come, you will eliminate the problem. But when we strayed from deen, we are going to face problems. Just look towards those that are oppressive and you'll realize that they are actually far from deen.
Allah,
and don't think that just wearing, you know, the qamis or the kurta and a topi or an amama or having a beard means someone is close to deen. No, no. Yes, these are things that people should do. Most definitely, and you'll be rewarded for doing these good things. But deen and being close to deen is from within and from without. That is, our hearts need to be in line with the deen. We need to have Islamic education. We need to try to live to emulate the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the deen. The deen is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not just a garb. And therefore you find that people are being oppressive in their nature. They're taking from people. They're not repaying people. They're hurting people's feelings. They're swearing at people. They shed people's blood. And then they're going for Umrah and they're going for Hajj whilst, you know, the people that they
spending
owe money.
Spending the blood of others. Yes.
Off the money of others and taking blood of others. And yet they are going and they think that, I'm going on great journeys. Whilst there are people that are out there that are crying because they haven't received our rights. We ask ourselves, that has such a person emulated the way of Rasulullah ﷺ? If they haven't, then indeed, they are unfortunately far from deen. They are going to holy lands, yet they themselves, their akhlaq is far from deen. Their hearts are far from deen. We have to come to the way, deen is the way of Rasulullah
ﷺ.
Before we act, before we do, before we speak, before we pay, before we buy, before we sell. Is this the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do so? If he would do so in this way, subhanallah, you're on the right track. And if this is not the way of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it is not for us.
Absolutely. Subhanallah. Very beautifully mentioned. So this all leads to the fear of Allah, Mawlana Sahib.
Yes.
The more fear of Allah azza wa jalla we may have in our hearts, this fear, khawf-e khuda, really helps for a lot of things. Think of death, because this will disconnect you from the pleasures of the dunya. It's high hopes. Somebody knows he's got 30 years more to spend on the dunya. If somebody gave in writing that you're going to definitely live for 30 years. Now, nobody had given us any promise like this that we're going to live for 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years. We got nothing in solid writing with guarantee that we are to live for so long. But the way we live proves as if we are never to die on our side. Mm-hmm. That's why the long hopes we may have. I mean, we are consistently told to remember death like you're going to die tomorrow. But
yes.
You tell me, the brother who's planning next year's trip overseas, he doesn't have death in his planning, because he planned his trip 1 year from now, but from now till 1 year, he never planned, if I died, what will happen? How the plan changes if I'm not around anymore? He may plan other mishaps, the flight is delayed, this has happened, this has happened, but he never planned, if I died, what will happen thereafter? So, what another way to fear is that you have Sahih Muslim, who Rasulullah ﷺ had even said in the hadith, and he said this to his companions, that you will have to restore the rights of those who are the sufferers. In the same hadith, Huzuri Pak then further states, why? Because even a horned goat will take revenge from the hornless goat.
Allah.
Allah. This means that even wild animals, dear viewers of Madini Channel, will be brought back to life on the day of Qiyamah, and accountability will occur amongst them. Allah Kareem will bring about justice between them. That if animals hurt each another, if justice will be served between animals, how did you think, or how did we think, that Allah will not do that amongst the humans? That we are not going to be accountable. If justice is going to be served to them, though they will return back to dust, dear viewers, but we will also be questioned and accountability will occur. So we all know that we aren't ready. So why are we increasing the list of oppression itself? We're supposed to be repenting for the wrongs that already happened and making a firm intention never to go further than that, beyond that. We're supposed to be putting a full stop to the wrongs that we have done. But it's shaitan, it's the oppression, it's the drugs, it is this messed mind, it is the inner shaitan which is our enemy. Then it is the open shaitan which is attacking us openly.
We cannot see it. It is being away from salah that we have become so immodest as well, dear viewers of Madani Channel. The thing that's supposed to keep us modest and make us modest is what we are not doing. That is why we are getting closer to sinning, closer to guna. And we have become so close to guna that half the time we commit the sins, not even knowing that we are committing sins. We think it's part of life, dear viewers. So it becomes easier for people of this nature to commit sins and oppression as compared to the one who has khawf-e khuda. So if you want your husband not to be an oppressive person, especially if you're looking to get married, look for a person who has khawf-e khuda. Inshallah, azza wa jalla, in this way here, you will find a person who will not violate your rights. Any person who got khawf-e khuda, it is hoped that he would tremble when he remembers Allah azza wa jalla. Because he trembles when he's about to commit a sin. So when he's about to oppress some person, he will also recall the punishment of Allah azza wa jalla. Rana sahab, any parting words from yourself, inshallah?
Inshallah, azza wa jalla. Yes, definitely. You know, the concept that we shared earlier on, I would like that I keep it in mind and our viewers also keep it in mind.
Yes.
That in dunya, we have the opportunity to ask for forgiveness. We have the opportunity to pay back people's rights. And we have a currency in the world that we can pay back in. If we took money, give money. If we hurt someone's feelings, ask for maaf, humble ourselves. Do so in dunya. Because in the akhirah, those opportunities go away.
Then
we need to pay back? Yes, most definitely. But the currency changes. You need your good deeds. Understand, we need our good deeds. We don't have much. The little we have, we can't afford to give it away.
Allahu Akbar.
So don't oppress. Don't hurt. Don't take people's rights. Rather, we rather be people that give extra rather than people that take extra.
Extra. Allah.
Give more good and don't take from someone what is not there, not rightfully yours.
Jazakallah. Ameen. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Thumma ameen. And I would also say this at the end, that I was for a janazah and I heard a person announce, and often it happens on behalf of the deceased, if the deceased have violated anyone's rights, please make him maaf. I mean, I thought to myself, why? I mean, it's a good thing for this to happen. But before somebody has to ask on your behalf, if this has happened, why can't you say this before you die? Allahu Akbar. That people have to talk like this on your behalf. If he owes somebody money, please come and claim from the family members. If he hurt someone or violated someone's rights, please come and claim from the family members. Why do we have to make someone announce this? Why can't the one who died say all of this before he dies? Then gradually in your life every day, look for the people who you have oppressed so that you could restore the rights before that hour comes and that day comes when your eyes have to close and your soul have to depart from your body. Allah Kareem, hame mu'af farmaye. Huzur, shukran for all the Madani pearls you have shared.
Ameen.
Keep reciting durood and salawat upon the most exalted Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until next time, sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah.